This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Time for sports. Four monster games played last night, giving us the final teams for the NCAA Elite Eight. Our own big man joins us now, Howard Bryant. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Fine, thanks. You up all night?
Oh, I pulled the all-nighter back-to-back nights.
Ah, okay. Listen, let me ask you first. My gosh, Arizona, of course, which the lone double-digit ranked team, lost to number one Louisville. Wasn't even close. What a blowout.
It was a washout.
What was it? 103-64?
103-64. But you have to give them credit. They went two rounds as a 12 seed, and I think that it was a great... It was a great run for them because people thought that they didn't even deserve to make the tournament. So for them to go two rounds and to play the number one team in the country, I still thought it was a victory for them. I think as well that when you look at the seeding before that, you had a 12 seed, Louisville, and a 13 seed, Cleveland State, playing each other. So I think March Madness is still very much alive.
Kansas-Michigan State game, that was close, 67-62.
And we're going to have new finalists because Memphis goes down the night before, and now the defending national champion Kansas goes down to Michigan State. And my bracket looks terrible, but I did call Duke to get destroyed by Villanova, so I'm happy.
What do you make of the pre-analysis that holds that what we're seeing now is the ascent of the Big East and the eclipse of the ACC? Carolina may be the exception.
Well, I think it's cyclical, and I think you need time. Last year, that wasn't necessarily the case, and certainly 3 or 4 years ago, before Georgetown became good again, people were saying that the Big East was the Big Least. But I think you also have to remember that you're having massive, massive shifts in the game itself. I mean, the Big East is not the Big East anymore. You've got Louisville in there and Cincinnati, and this is not the Big East of the 80s with John Thompson and Jim Boeheim and Louis Conesecca and Rolly Massimino. It's a different game. It's more big money, so you need more big teams. And I can barely tell the difference between these conferences anymore because they change so much. Boston College is an ACC team now, so... It's very, very different, but it's all being driven by the money.
It's spring, so let's move on to baseball and bid adieu to the World Baseball Classic.
Yes.
Japan won, but the Netherlands kicked a little Gouda.
Well, you have to like that, especially because there's a team that everyone was laughing at, and it was nice to see them beat the Dominicans twice. Of course, in the game where I was in Florida and Arizona for spring training, you had people say that the Dominicans were the epitome of everything that was wrong with the World Baseball Classic, in that they didn't want to play, they weren't really interested in it because a lot of the big league players were more interested in their day jobs, which is getting ready for their teams, and they didn't show up, and the Netherlands came out and beat them.
Is the baseball World Baseball Classic a success, or are there just too many big-name players that don't play because they're afraid of twisting an ankle?
Well, I think the problem is that, in theory, it's an outstanding idea to have a world tournament because so many different countries are playing baseball. But in actual practice, you can't do it during spring training because when you've got a guy or you've got an entire team making $8 or $9 or $10 million a year, they're not going to put out for an exhibition. They're going to be worried about injuries. And I think the best thing to do is to play the game in November after the World Series and commit to that. The problem is, of course, is to getting the Players Association to agree to it.
And as you noted, you were in Arizona for spring training, and I know there are a number of teams that actually are preparing to play Major League Baseball this year. I'm just wondering about the Chicago Cubs.
Well, I was there on Tuesday. I saw the Cubs, and I saw Lou Piniella and Milton Bradley hit a home run, and
you saw Lou Piniella hit a home run? There's strength on the bench, yes.
Crazy Milton Bradley, yes, but I love Milton Bradley. My people are telling me this is Lou's last year, so if you're going to get it, you got to get it this year. I hear he's as big as Mike Ditka, but he's going to hang it up at the end of the season.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
It's the whisper.
You mean win or lose, huh?
Win or lose, that's the whisper.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know which way I'm falling on that. Howard, nice to talk to you.
As always.
Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN.com, ESPN the magazine, and ESPN the turf paint.